Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialists Kim and Jackie of Element Q, alongside strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Narcissism Podcast. We're happy to have you join us today. Our topic is around the acceptance of absurdities. Mm-hmm. So there's actually a lot tied into this.
Let's jump into the idea of what absurdities actually are. Mm-hmm. It's interesting within the context of neo-narcissism and within the narcissistic relationship itself, we get conditioned or trained into actually accepting absurdities. So things that would have been absolutely absurd at the beginning of the relationship turn into something that feels normal.
Yeah.
So it shifts the baseline of what you're willing to accept.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think like that's a really nice summary of what it is we're going to delve into and how this happens and how incremental it might seem when you reflect back on it. So what it's really looking at here, like Brad's talking about, is when you're in relationship with a narcissist, that there might be one small, maybe sacrifice, request, something a little outside the norm of how you would normally behave or what you would normally do. You're like, well, okay, I can give this one because you're in relationship. You do some give and take. And then there's another one. And then there's another one. And all of these compile over time. They may level up. And it can really, like Brad's talking about, change this sort of baseline narrative. And it can shift that along. Mm-hmm. It can also involve a lot of self-denial of the reality of what's happening. Where you can literally forget, justify what the previous requests have all sort of compiled to be. So then often what happens over time is you lose a sense of yourself. You lose a sense of grounding and realness within what a healthy dynamic of a relationship would be. So then you are just a compliant resource for the narcissist. Mm-hmm.
That's quite a term, a compliant resource for the narcissist.
Well,
it's true. It's accurate. It's just, it's heavy.
It's big.
It's big. And I think, too, part of what you're describing is it just keeps building on itself. So it's a little thing here. It's a little thing there. It might be a slightly bigger thing, then maybe another little thing and another little thing. But the discomfort internally of looking at the larger picture of all those little things combined is so great once you find yourself in that position that you want to ease that discomfort. So you'll kind of continue playing along in the game, be hoping, again, leading with hope, not with truth, that discomfort will eventually be eased if you just keep just doing it. Eventually, maybe that pain will stop.
Yeah, because the narcissists themselves are the ones that are creating, you know, the environment or the atmosphere of discomfort. Mm-hmm. And so you're ultimately trying to appease that narcissistic spirit in order to have it calm down or try to get to some sense of normal. Or normalcy. Now, like you're talking about, it's like normal starts to disappear, right? There gets to be created a new normal. Normal 2.0. But as you're saying, it doesn't stop there. Then it becomes the new normal after that step of new normal. So it's new normal 3.0, new normal 4.0, new normal 5.0. And it just goes on. So on and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Right. And within that, the further along you go, the person who is complying to all these requests may start to feel like they're trying to earn love, which is not necessarily how it started, but the chipping away that happens over time can start to feel like, well, I just have to do these things to keep this maybe small fractional amount of something that looks like love right there to access. But you get further and further away from yourself every time you do that.
And two, what gets dangled out in front of you is that thing that you value so much. And it's like, you can have that thing that you value if and when.
Yeah.
And that's the ongoing lie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we discuss this, I mean, there's psychological terms for this. This is what we call the foot in the door phenomenon. If they can get your foot in the door, then they can get you to do another step. Then they can get you to do another step. And before you know it, you're in the midst of the overall trap and there's no way to get out of it. And the only way to get out of it is, you know, a massive event.
With the foot, like that technique and those steps and the just and just and just and just to get out, to break yourself free when you finally realize continuing to comply is never going to get you what you're being promised.
Yeah, within that narcissistic framework, we don't realize how vulnerable we're actually becoming, right? Because it just becomes the new normal.
Can you explain, you talked about the foot in the door technique and just a little bit about how, can you explain or like break down what some of those small techniques or examples would be of compliance and how that just like is gradual over time?
Right. Yeah. So another psychological term for this that kind of runs in similar lines or along the same similar vein is successive approximations. So basically like these small steps. So what would that look like in a relationship? Well, it can look like a number of things. So the narcissist could be put on in kind of an edgy tone or, you know, create a tension within the relationship or within the context. And you just want to alleviate that tension. So you just do that small thing to relieve the tension. But now what does that tell the narcissistic spirit? It basically says to the spirit, oh, look, they're willing to budge there. All you have to do is another budge. There's something else out there called nudge theory, right? Which marketers use. But yeah, it's like this little nudge or this little nudge to shift and shape behavior. So one example of this nudge technique, you'll have noticed within the last few years, when you go to a store, you have to walk through an aisle to get out of the store. And that aisle, while you're waiting, is full of items.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of affordable items.
Yeah, point of purchase items.
Yeah. And so it's like, you wouldn't have gone into the store to buy those things. But because you're waiting in line and you're seeing all of these things, and it's like, oh, that's so convenient. It's right there. It's a reasonable price. It's like, that's a little nudge to get you to purchase something that you wouldn't have purchased initially.
That's interesting, because also within that lineup, I think often, like, I will notice people are kind of uncomfortable waiting in line, right? So they're looking for distractions. So if they're not on their phone, they don't really want to just stand there. Maybe I wonder if the discomfort is also a piece that plays into that area. Well, okay, I guess I could grab this magazine, and I don't know, suddenly I'm interested in whatever this magazine's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh yeah, I probably should get some gum for my car, right? And, So it's interesting to just those little things. They almost feel to me kind of like social media, right? Like you're just standing there like, oh, interesting, 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 not so interesting. Okay,
yeah.
I'll grab that.
Essentially, they've nudged you psychologically, and they've upsold you. Like, that's just one small example of how easy it is to actually shift psychological behaviors. If there is a constant narcissistic pressure on you to behave in a certain way, yeah, it's that idea of how can I alleviate? And I will alleviate by doing this behavior. and that feels better for me.
So then what we're talking about, or we're leading to, I believe, is that there's this general lack of tolerance in most people to be even slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah, because right? So. what I was saying is this alleviate, what was the wording you used again? You want to alleviate the behavior.
Yeah, like alleviate the tension? Or
the tension around the behavior. And what I got from that is exactly just what you're saying, is the discomfort from that behavior and the tension is so great that people will compromise themselves mm-hmm. to relieve it, this perceived, to resolve whatever this perceived tension is between the two of them, and that they'll compromise themselves.
Yeah. Or even the discomfort of the request.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you just want the discomfort of the request also to diminish.
Yeah.
So how does that happen? You execute the request, or you say no and you face a bigger discomfort of a hard conversation.
Or a form of narcissistic punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the thing is, right, within the narcissistic framework, over time, you fear the loss of what you value. Mm-hmm. And so then you end up complying, conforming, and making these shifts in the direction of hoping to maintain what you value. Yeah, you might be a new normal 5.0, and the way you're compensating in the relationship may be absolutely absurd, like we were talking about. And this is where the acceptance of the absurdity comes in, because now you're doing things that you never thought you would ever do. Based on trying to keep the narcissistic spirit happy and content, which is actually an impossible.
It's absurd. Wait, itself.
It's absurd, and that is really a big point to land. It's impossible.
Yeah,
right. It's impossible. So you're best off to just have some sense of self and stick with that.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that's getting compromised, or even being requested to compromise, that's a big question mark.
Yeah. But I think the other thing you said, Brad, too, about how you get to new normal 5.0, if you ask said person who gets into that relationship at the beginning, do you foresee yourself, you know, doing X behavior in relationship with this person? I can guarantee you 100% of them would be like, no,
exactly.
That's absurd. I would never do that. I would never, ever put myself in that position. That's ridiculous. Whatever the wording is. There's no way they would agree to that in the beginning of the relationship. But just with all of those small techniques and tactics that narcissists use, it just builds up over time.
And as those successive approximations, right, like if you look at a successive approximation chart, you can actually see the kind of exponential growth of all of those things adding up on top of each other to get there. Right, so like you're saying, in relationship, if you ask somebody at the beginning of a relationship, you know, if your partner asked you to do this, would you do that? Absolutely not, never, right? But then you get into it and, you know, you do this one thing that seems a little bit outside of that normal framework, and then you do that next thing and that next thing and that next thing, and yeah, before you know it, over time, you're absolutely doing those things that you said you would never do.
Yeah.
You become a person, like you're talking about, where you become almost unrecognizable to yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of times to other people around you.
Yeah.
You just don't seem like the same person.
I will say, just to validate anybody who's listening to this, really intelligent, empathetic, aware humans can get into these relationships. This is not, we're not talking about people who are, you know, maybe just not so aware of some of this stuff. People can be very aware of even these kind of tactics or this kind of manipulation and still get drawn in.
Yeah.
Because narcissists are just naturally that skilled, partly. And the other part is that you're a deeply loving and empathetic human being. And you do not need to feel any sort of shame if that's coming up, or embarrassment, or whatever is happening. Like, it's okay to just be like, okay, this is what happened. I find myself here now. Let's see if we can, you know, figure out how to like step off this track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except the unfortunate thing is, depending on how far down the track you've gotten, it's not going to just be an easy step off.
No, it's not going to be easy, but, you know, there's people to support you and help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's where it can feel like it will take a monumental event to get you out of the situation where you feel you're between a rock and a hard place, mm-hmm. right? Damned if you do, damned if you don't. And that's one of those double bindings that they're so good at putting people into.
Well, could that, and like just to put some context to that, for people to look at, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you continue with the relationship, you're sacrificing yourself and staying in that negative, abusive, whatever you want to call it. Also, you're damned on the other side, because you have to look at the consequences of all your choices in this relationship and how you've gotten to this point, and the discomfort that's going to cause internally is significant.
A healthier discomfort, though, perhaps.
Yeah, but it's still, I'm just trying to say, like, that there's a reason why people don't make that choice either.
Absolutely.
Because it's not an easy one to look at.
Why do people end up making those choices? Why does that choice actually get made? Because the narcissistic framework led you to believe that the narcissist was on the same page as you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're doing it together. We're all in this together type idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to have that underlying assumption makes us highly vulnerable and susceptible to this type of thing, because we don't have that capacity to be skeptical to what's happening, because we believe that that person is after the same thing that we're after. Mm-hmm. And essentially, the game's already over before you realize that you're even in a game.
Yeah,
that's an excellent point. I think that's a really significant thing to observe, Brad. Thank you for that. The narrative is that you're on the same page,
mm-hmm.
which makes it easier then to support
mm-hmm.
the narrative,
because
mm-hmm. you're striving towards the same aim, the same goal.
It's easy for you to buy into that, because that's why you're there too. Mm-hmm. And then wham!
Pull that rug right up front of you.
Oh, man.
We're going painful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the other piece of all of this I was going to say that's related to what we've been talking about is when you get so far down the line to new normal 5.0, 6.0, 7.0, it can also be referred to as shifting baseline syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
People can look that up as to for some more information about it. But essentially that you just get to the point where what might have been your line in the sand, your normal baseline, eventually it just keeps shifting and shifting and shifting. And what would have been an acceptable behavior or an unacceptable behavior to you before no longer is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's been shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a completely different baseline, and you don't even remember what that initial baseline looked like.
Well, that's exactly it, right? Because like you're talking about, when you're in new normal or you're in normal 7.0, you don't even remember what normal, original normal was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that shifting baseline theory or syndrome is...
The accepting of that's actually a really good touch point for people to sort of recognize for themselves. Like, we're doing this now, but we didn't do this a month ago or a year ago in this relationship.
Yeah.
So, why?
Yeah.
Right? That's a good sort of touch point for yourself to sort of start to assess if that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, the other piece I was going to say is we've talked about being a doormat, a badass, and an asshole. And from what I've observed with people who have been in narcissistic relationships, when they want to get out of it, they're trying to heal, it's really challenging for them to hold that badass role. And I feel a lot of this is related to this, because they've adjusted to the absurdity for so long that they don't know where an appropriate boundary is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So to hold that position of a badass is a really challenging position, because how do you remember normal badass initial normal badass compared to what badass and new normal 7.0 might be, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've referenced this a little bit before. So this is where when you start to embody more of that badass attitude, it might feel like you're being an asshole.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
You're not. You're just holding really healthy, firm boundaries for yourself. But the swing of it from being the doormat to moving into badass. So just be prepared that, like, if it's uncomfortable, great. It's a good kind of discomfort. You're going to stretch that muscle.
But some of it might be related to this adjusting to the absurdity and moving baselines for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, it's never enough. You could fill every... You could literally do all of the love languages for a narcissist. Mm-hmm. And it is never enough. There's going to be a higher need, a higher level, higher level, higher level, a different baseline, right? A new normal that needs to be achieved. Mm-hmm. And once you hit these levels of pedestaled expectation and absurdity, mm-hmm. there's no way to go back to the original normal, because the original normal pales in comparison to this new space that they've manipulated you into.
Yeah.
Right?
It's beautifully said.
Yeah. Yeah, I what I'm getting is that I hope that this information and seeing how we can become accustomed to accepting such absurdities allows everybody to have some compassion for themselves as to where they find themselves in relationship with a narcissist or in the world that we're in. That it is so subtle, all these steps, all these little absurdities. They're not huge actions, they're little bits at a time, and it just chips away at you over time. And it's okay if you find yourself in that position and there is a way out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, they always use you and what you value against you. So they use your characters, your virtues, and what you value against you. And this is where you just get into this absurd space further and further and further.
Yeah. And it gets cloudy and hard to sort of navigate yourself out of it all. Because the double bind is a good part of that, because you're, and that's the same as we were saying, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, because you just, like, you don't know what to do.
Yeah. Like, you literally carry this stress of internal conflict. You carry this massive relational, emotional, psychological load that you don't know how to alleviate it. There is no way within the absurdity to alleviate it.
Yeah, so then what happens? You're out in the world and you're maybe short-tempered with people. You're maybe judgy of people. But then that's just because of this load that you're carrying, and the love that you're giving is not reciprocated. Mm. So there's also no sort of authentic real feed back.
And then before you know it, you're so far in, you wonder how you got so far in. Like, often one day you'll just wake up and realize that how did I get here? Mm-hmm. And you'll see the absurdity at that point, but then that's where the big dilemma is. Oh, I've been duped. But it feels like it's too late. What do I do now? My options absolutely suck. This is going to take a catastrophic event to get any form of normal back, or to get out of the absurdity.
So I was just, I had a, like, how many times do you think that people in a relationship might cycle through that moment and actually realize how absurd things have gotten? And sit with the discomfort of it all, but that is too intense to actually look at. So it's like it gets parked or pushed aside, and the choice to just carry forward is easier, or perceived as easier. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like the familiarity of the unhealth of it all.
No, it's like, what I was trying to say is, like, they realize they've been duped, they've been lied to, they're in this position. But like Brad is saying, to look at how they've gotten here and how duped they are is way too painful, and it's actually easier to continue in the relationship.
Yeah.
Perceived easier.
Sure. Like, stay with what's familiar,
yeah.
because if you look into your own responsibility of what you've allowed yourself to give up and become, yeah, is really hard. So you're asking then, like, how often, like, how many times somebody might cycle through that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say, but
I think it's complicated, because I don't think it's as simple as just the intensity of it and not being able to sort of sit with the intensity of that. I think it is because those harms pile up, and there can be sometimes a lack of recognition of remembering who you were, and what those sort of stronger, more grounded, solid pieces of yourself are. And it seems insurmountable to have to recover that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of personal responsibility to look at there too, right? Mm-hmm. As to why and how. And that is tied to a lot of other things that are outside of the relationship, right? The whys and the hows. So it's a call to know yourself.
And then, like you're talking about, then this is where we run into these other stages of basically when we recognize where we're at and what we lost. It's like then you enter the stages of grief, right?
Yeah.
Denial, anger, sadness, mm-hmm. like all of these things, and mm-hmm. cycling through those grief and loss tasks. So, and sometimes we have to cycle through loss a few times before we even take action to move ourselves out of it, because you realize that you're experiencing loss in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Mm. So do you make the choice to just experience loss apart from it? Mm. Right? And that's where you have to make that difficult decision. Like, I need to get myself out of this circumstance.
Yeah.
And and I think too, if you've been chipped away enough, some people can feel like they're constantly sort of chasing this idea of love. And if they have sacrificed and given so much to this relationship and still not feeling the love they desire, then that equals, well, I must be unlovable. So then it's easier to just stay here than to try to move forward,
mm-hmm.
and either risk maybe not being in a healthy relationship, or more likely, if you've done some healing, being in a very healthy relationship, right? But it seems like sometimes not possible.
Well, and what you're touching on there is the shifting narratives and the shifting narratives of self within that context. Like you're saying, you may have never thought that you were unlovable.
Yeah.
But then you get into a context like this, and it's like, well, I'm putting out everything that I can possibly put out in terms of what you would perceive to be lovable.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just not enough. So then that's where it can actually shift narratives. And that's actually a very scary place to be, because then that's like a big gaslighting framework where you start to question yourself and who you are as a person rather than your context.
Yeah.
And how that context has manipulated you into that current space.
Yep. It's super successful in the narcissist part, if you dare.
And as usual, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.